Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Muruti Babuluki, Museke, Ligai.
Kritin, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you, Pastor. I hope you've had a good day.
Yeah, it's a good day so far.
Good day so far. I'm glad to hear that. Well, it's a fantastic day. It must be hot, man, where you are, eh?
Yeah, but not as the other day. I mean, now we have some wind, so.
Oh, nice.
And I'm in town. I'm in town now, so it's a bit cooler.
Beautiful, beautiful. Great to hear that. Yeah. Now, yesterday we talked about racial and cultural diversity and exclusion that exists in some of our circles as Adventists. Today we move on from that and focus on socioeconomic inequality that exists all over the world. The church all over the world, and the church not being exempt, rather, from that. Now, we want to, at the end of this conversation, see how we can address that. Now, on an economic level, Pastor, looking at the SDA church in particular, we have spectacular, beautifully designed structures for worship on the one hand, and not too far away, we have a group of from the same family of faith worshiping under a tree or meeting in a classroom. Is it the duty of the richer to feed the poorer? Is that even an issue that needs to be addressed, or is it not really important? Maybe that's just the way the world is, unfortunately. The poor and the rich will always exist?
Yeah, that's actually a reality that that we have in our church. And I want to point out that a church is not a building, you know. I think if I clear this out, first then we'll be able to actually get into the issue itself.
Mm-hmm.
A church is not a building, but a group of believers who subscribe to certain beliefs. And Christ is that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And having said that now, we make this deduction that a place of worship should have not any bearing in the attitude and character of believers. And again, we know that, as Revelation says, or Revelation 14 says, the gospel goes to every class of people in different climes, in different environments, and also different economic zones. So which means that some areas that are more affluent, the gospel will reach them. And those that are humble, the gospel will also reach them.
Mm-hmm.
And the where we gather for worship, by and large, is reflective of also where we stay. that's something that it's reflective of where we stay. The reason I'm saying this is because there was a time in Israel when God said, "Look, you guys, you live in nice places and nice houses, but my ark, the ark of the covenant, stays in tents and all that."
Mm-hmm.
So there is that aspect now. Of course, we as Christians should have that horizontal relationship with our fellow believers, such that we can help them and get them to a certain space where they can feel dignified in how they worship God.
Mm-hmm.
But this cannot be something that is legislated. We can't say we are going to force people to make sure that when they have this, you know, auditorium that can accommodate 5,000 people, they should also give to those ones who are now worshiping under a tree, so they have a structure. And I'm saying this because there's a principle in the Bible that those who give for any cause in God's work, it could be evangelism, it could even be the building of a shelter where people can worship God, it should be done out of a pure heart. It should not be done forcefully. It shouldn't force them to do that.
Yeah.
So I think it tells a lot about the kind of people that we are. I mean, if we worship in a nice structure, it is a spectacular structure, but then just a few blocks away, there are some who worship under a tree, and we are of the same faith. I think it says a lot about us who worship in the structure and not care about how our fellow brothers, under what conditions do they worship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an issue that we cannot legislate, but it reflects a lot about our Christian character.
Mm, it does, actually, it does. Now, yeah. as a global church, can one uniform message, for example, Universal Quarterly, Universal Pathfinder Curriculum, etc., be applied effectively across the world? Is it possible that some groups are left underserved as their particular issues may not be addressed, or are our messages a one-size-fits-all?
There is a kind of imbalance in that, and this is why I'm saying it. Mm. When you look at the message itself, the biblical message, it gives us principles that can be adapted to every culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at the curricula of certain groups in the church and all that, mm-hmm. it's usually made somewhere, drafted somewhere, using the context of that culture. And by the time it gets to this side of the world, it doesn't really fit well within our culture because of the fact that it is not equal to the message that you find in the Bible. So the best thing to do is extract the principles that are there and see how you can contextualize them to the culture, the other factors that may be particular and peculiar to the people that you are targeting. So that way, it won't be a one-size-fits-all kind of message, but it's a principle that cuts across time, it cuts across culture, race, and background and whatever the case may be.
Yeah, man. You know what you're saying? One size fits all. I call it one size doesn't fit all, because it could be designed to fit all, but you actually discover that culturally, location wise, etc., it actually doesn't fit, and yet the message, has been sent. Do you believe that, or do you think that perhaps those who are responsible for issuing messages should actually have among their ranks those who will say, but in our area, we will not understand it like this. So let's actually do this. Because it doesn't look like they may have people like that in those ranks.
Mm-hmm. I think the best thing would be to deal with it is this way. Mm. For example, we have different regions and different cultures, of course.
Mm.
There could be all of them, or there should be representatives from all of those backgrounds that contribute to the principles that shape the message.
Yeah.
Okay, like what is it that you want to accomplish with this program, for example? We know the goals, we agree on the goals, and then we each go back to our respective backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then having adopted the goals collectively, we go and implement them in the context of where we come from.
Yeah.
That way, you not have a group of men somewhere crafting a message to be translated to different languages and then spread all over, because then it will not fit, as you were saying, it will not fit others. Although they thought that we are fitting it for everyone, they are limited in their knowledge. They're finite. They're not infinite like God. So there will always be that lack. Therefore, I think the best way to approach it is to let's get what the goals are.
Mm-hmm.
What are the objectives? And then as we have come together from different backgrounds, having discussed the objectives and the goals, we go back and implement them according to our cultural context.
Now, before I let you go, Pastor, thank you so much for that. We normally hear in the political spaces, political world, people, shouting slogans like freedom in our lifetime, economic freedom in our lifetime, and emancipation in our lifetime, etc.
Yeah.
And we hear these things. Now, I do know that we may not be able to satisfy every single person at every time with every single program or decision. But do you think that the problems that exist, especially, with inequality and race in the church, can be sorted in our lifetime?
I mean, I think, it's about, can the church really solve all the problems of the world? Will inequality always exist? And I want to say that, in principle, the church has been given something that can solve the problems of the world. Why am I saying principle? The church has been given the gospel, and the gospel embraces, I want to put it in this way, the theology of the gospel, the theology in the gospel embraces sociology. as we try to get people to have a healthy vertical relationship with God, inevitably they should have a healthy relationship with horizontally with their fellow men. So the purpose of the church then is, or the mission of the church is to point the world to the solution of all the problems, having a healthy relationship with God. Yesterday, someone was, you know, preaching on Philippians, saying that the man of Christ is reflected in esteeming the other person better than you, meaning that you put the other person before you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, imagine if all of us here had that mentality. No one would actually want to be the first, want to have the preeminence. We will always prefer the other person above ourselves. And that way, if that is the spirit that that is found in each one of us, it will make life easier. So the purpose of the church, or the mission of the church really, is to get this message and bring it as close as possible home, so that those who are touched and convicted by it can make a change in their lives. And now, it's not a given that all who hear the message will actually agree with it and accept it. We have the parable of the sower, four grounds, but only one ground produced fruit. So it's not a given that all the time everyone who hears the message will actually change. But that we, as a church, we have done our work, our job, which is to spread the gospel message, which embraces in it equality, justice, and healthy social relationships.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Really always a pleasure speaking to you. We are going to be connecting with you one last time tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you so much. May God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Blessings.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.